Hey, everyone, and welcome to The Seminarian, where we talk about seminary life, theology, and the things that form us as Christians. I'm Josh, and in today's episode, I'm joined by two of my classmates, my friends, Trent and Nicholas, and we were actually all in a vocation of ministry course last semester, which was each of our first semesters. And so in this episode, we wanted to talk about kind of the importance of community, as well as just this idea that we actually have very different seminary journeys. And I think each of us has a unique perspective on that. So this is going to be a really fun episode. But I want to, introduce you guys, or have you introduce yourselves. Welcome to The Seminarian, first off. And we've got a couple questions. First off, name, kind of what your degree is in that you're pursuing at Asbury Theological Seminary, any background information. And then probably the most important question is, what is the weirdest thing that you have in your refrigerator right now? Okay, so, and you have to be honest. Unless it's drugs, then don't be honest about that, because this is a family-friendly show. Let's start with you, Trent. Introduce yourself.
I'm Trent, Trent Gaddy. I am in the Masters of Arts in Theological Studies program, with an emphasis in spiritual formation. I'm married. I got married last May. Nice. I just moved here in December. So just 3 months ago now.
Here as in?
To Wilmore, I should say. Yeah. Which is where the main campus of Asbury is. And the weirdest thing I've got in my refrigerator, I was hoping Nickelback would go first so that I could bounce off of him. I don't think we have that much weird stuff in our refrigerator, other than we did the classic thing where you freeze your wedding cake because you're supposed to eat it at your 1 year anniversary.
Nice.
And we only ate one piece in the first place, so I've just been slowly eating pieces off of it so that there's one piece left for our 1 year anniversary.
Is it taste? I mean, a one-year-old cake does not taste.
It's not the best, but when I need sugar, it works. So
that's a weird. I mean, I get it. That's kind of sentimental, but also it's like, I guess it could only work with cake. Like, you couldn't do like the chicken thighs and salad that you had.
No.
Nice. Hey, that was a good answer. Okay, your name is Nicholas. But it even sounds weird me saying that, because we all call you Nickelback. And by all, I mean Trent and I call you Nickelback, because you told me that you went to like 7 Nickelback concerts. And then
I went to one Nickelback concert.
If you've been to one, you've been to 7.
Yeah, that's fair.
All right, Nickelback. Yes. Tell us who you are.
My name is Nicholas Hess, or Nickelback, obviously. I am originally from Pikeville, Kentucky, but now I live in Lexington, Kentucky. So I'm not on the campus, but I'm 20 minutes away from main campus.
Nice.
Been married. It'll be 3 years on May 22nd. So
coming up.
It's coming up. And I'm in the Master's of Arts and Ministry program. And yeah, second semester. Got to meet you guys in the first, and we all wound up still taking another online course together too, which was fun. Different professors, but you know.
That's so, right. Yeah. We are in the same, technically we're in the same course, just not together. Is that missional formation?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So I'm in a hybrid version of that, and then Nickelback, you're in an online version of that. Are you, Trent, in an in-person version?
Yeah.
Nice. Cool. We're in the same class.
Yeah.
And then the weirdest thing that I have in my refrigerator. So I don't know if it's necessarily weird, but I have like a whole shelf dedicated to energy drinks, because I just go through like energy drinks, not sponsored by Ghost, but I do go through them pretty fast.
Next time we do this, shoot me those information. Yeah, we'll get sponsored by Ghost. I've never even heard of that.
This is free advertising.
Free advertising. You know, not sponsored by Ghost, but if you want to, you know.
Nice. No,
yeah, that's probably the weirdest.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, you're Nickelback is a gym junkie. He's a gym rat. And he's not, when I do this, I'm using the under part of my hand to like beef up my biceps. Those are, his biceps are all natural. So. Okay. So you guys skipped a question. Why did you enroll at Asbury? We'll go back to Trent. Yeah. Like what, why seminary?
So I don't have a bachelor's degree. Long story short, I was in a band and we toured a lot back in the day. And so when I was trying to do college and touring full time at the same time, it just didn't really work well. So I ended up dropping out, did that for several years. COVID killed it. And then, ever since then, I felt like going back to school, but just couldn't really figure out why. I had kind of flirted with several different degree programs and all kinds of stuff like that, and just could never really settle on anything that I thought I could stick with. And I have a friend who attended Asbury. He just graduated last May, and he also got in without a bachelor's degree. And so that was the first time that I've realized it was possible. And I kind of just reached this point where I was like, you know, I felt like I've been called to go back to school for a while now. Couldn't really figure out why, because I couldn't pick a job that I wanted to do for the rest of my life. And I just decided, you know, this is stuff I would like to learn. This is experiences I would like to have. It's ways I'd like to be formed that don't have to turn into a career. And so I ended up just applying, never even looked at another seminary, never even got to a website. I kind of just sent in an application and was like, well, if I get accepted, then maybe I'll think about going. And I got accepted and now I'm here.
And now you moved from Kansas City to the school. Not on a whim, obviously. I know that you and your wife were praying a ton about it, but that is kind of a crazy story. It's like, yeah, I'll see.
Oh yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah. It was very unexpected, but now we're here.
Nice. Nickelback.
But the very short version. So I do have my bachelor's degree in biology. I was going to go to pharmacy school. Worked in pharmacy, realized not for me. Then I worked a couple of different jobs, you know, like I worked in pharmacies. I worked like making medicine even. Worked in insurance for a while and I was like, okay, this is what I'm supposed to do. And then COVID happens and shuts down that. So I can't work at all and just really got into reading scripture seriously, praying seriously. And I was just kind of like, God, you keep shutting doors on me. There's got to be something. And just got called to ministry and was just looking for a really good program. Complete transparency. Had no idea what Wesleyan meant before I attended Asbury.
Okay, so for our listeners, so Asbury is historically a Wesleyan Methodist school, right? And so, yeah.
Hey, they're not Methodists. They will be quick to point out that it is in their charter that they cannot ever affiliate with a denomination.
Okay, right, agreed. But it's a Methodist
background. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yes. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So, but, you know, learning more about it, especially like the Wesleyan Quadrilateral and stuff, that's kind of, I was kind of like, well, I just kind of lucked out because I've learned a lot of things that actually put more pieces together. So, yeah, I'm really thankful.
Now you have to define it. You're not allowed, that's the thing on the seminarian. You're not allowed to use fancy terms without explaining it in layman's terms.
Talk like a caveman, Nickelback.
Okay. So you have, I know it. You've got four pieces. You've got scripture. You've got, oh gosh, you can make me look a fool myself.
No,
scripture.
No, reason.
Trent, text him. About. Text him the answers.
So.
You got scripture.
You got that one. Yeah.
Reason.
Yeah, scripture, tradition, reason. Yeah. So, yeah.
And experience.
Yeah.
Nice.
And the human experience part was a really important part for me. Because, you know, I'd kind of, you know, I'd grown up non-denominational, but I kind of got pulled towards or interested a little bit in Catholicism because I was like, well, they've got tradition. And then I learned a little bit more about Methodism and or the Methodist Church and like Wesleyanism. And I was like, okay, well, they're also taking into account the human experience, which is something I feel like a lot of denominations now. So
nice. Those are solid answers. Cool. Well, it was super cool. We, again, our first semester, we were in a class that necessitated that we're in like a little discussion group. Actually, Trent and I were in a group with another guy that never showed up. He just, I think he dropped out of school or something. Like, so Trent and I were meeting one-on-one and we're like, we don't even know this other classmate. I think he was from Florida or something like that. And then Dr. Brad Johnson, our professor for the class, messages us and he's like, hey, same thing happened to Nicholas. He was in a group. They're not meeting. Can you jump in yours? And here you are. We're so glad. I'm like a little lost puppy.
The stars aligned.
Nice. All right. Well, let's get into this. So what I want to talk about is the importance of community during seminary. And we were on an online class, meaning we weren't going to a brick and mortar school. We're not sitting next to classmates. So that sense of community amongst what were called global students, online students, is kind of missing, you know? And so I think that Asbury does a really good job of trying to incorporate that and, you know, using Zoom calls or discussion posts or whatever. So having done a semester and where we were kind of each other's only friends, Asbury, for a minute there, what value do you guys see in community? Why is it that even after the class ended, we kept meeting together? Nose
go
goes.
It,
Nose goes. Okay, Nickelback.
Right, yeah, I'll go for it. I think we just found community. And I think especially, you know, kind of like you were saying, as a global student, we don't get to meet in person. And even just meeting with you guys, usually we meet weekly, but sometimes even bi-weekly, depending on our schedules. But even just meeting with you guys weekly and kind of checking in. And it seems like this went from being a requirement in the course to something that I actually really enjoyed doing every week. And I think it helped that I feel like our first week, well, I mean, you guys had been meeting for a while, but even my first week with you guys, I feel like we all just clicked really well.
Yeah.
And so I was like, you know, I was talking to my wife and I'm like, yeah, I met Josh and Trent and we talked about all this stuff and I get to talk to him next week. And it's really nice for me, especially because I work factory work and they're not super social. So, you know, you kind of, you know, get to talk to you guys. It was just something I look forward to each week.
Same, dude. That was good.
I like you guys. Okay, I'll keep you.
I suppose. Trent, what's your take on that?
Yeah, I think that's something that I don't have any experience with another seminary necessarily. However, as I've heard through the grapevine, that something Asbury does the best is about connecting people and about community. I think they do that really well on campus, but I think they're really, really trying to do that well for global students. And it worked obviously for us. I mean, they're big on these Wesleyan band discipleship group type things, making sure that people don't go from start to finish in their degree without seeing or interacting with another human being other than a discussion post, which are terrible.
We're allowed to say that. It's, I mean, the show is sponsored by Asbury, but technically I am allowed to say discussion posts can be the worst.
You have to do them, obviously. I mean, it's the next best option, but that doesn't mean it's the best option. It's just the next best one.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that, yeah, I mean, we just clicked. Yeah. Like Nick said, the first time you and I met, I mean, we were like sharing life stories, grief.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. We were coming out of some
stuff.
That
was right when a lot of, yeah, you were going through a lot of stuff and I was trying to sift through what was next and all that. And still, like, I mean, I made the decision to come to seminary a couple months before I started. So it's like, I was still kind of processing that. And so we did a lot of that together. And then Nickelback joined in and just started talking about Nickelback. And I was like, who the heck does this dude think he is? He likes Nickelback? No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, man.
No, I'm kidding. No, it just like, it was fun. And I'm thankful that you took the initiative to ask us if we wanted to continue. Because if you didn't, I'm sure we would have all just let it kind of just fade into nothingness. But yeah, it's been sweet.
What's been really cool, just dovetailing off of what both of you guys said, is like, I don't have anyone really in my immediate context who's doing the same classes and stuff like that. I've got Joe Rolfe, who you guys have yet to meet, is kind of a co-host. So we get to talk about it. But really, outside of that, I don't have like a lot of friends right now. I'm not, able to talk about. Sometimes we just are like, hey, did you get that homework assignment? Like, I'm super confused. You know, that even that space is really useful to be able to cheat off. I mean, share each other's thoughts about what we're. Okay, I do have to
say.
Hey,
don't say that.
Nickelback did. It was like week two or something, and it was. I didn't know you all that well, and you're like, hey, bro. Can you just let me read what you wrote on this answer? And I was like, heck no.
Oh, that's not.
I remember that.
But it wasn't like that, but it felt like that at first because I didn't know you. But it was like, no, I just was trying to like see. I already answered it. I'm just trying to see if I'm on the right track or not. And I was like, yeah. Oh. But it was that has kind of become that space of like relating to each other as other seminarians and being able to say, you know, I'm struggling with this homework assignment. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Or, you know, if it's, for instance, one that requires working with the church. I know Nickelback, you're like, I'm church hopping right now. Like, I don't even have a home church yet. There was a period in time. And so being able to pray with you through that and support you in that is super, super cool. And I've enjoyed being able to relate to you guys because I don't really have that right now in my life. So, yeah.
Yeah.
That's really cool. Well, I think it's super interesting that we all now represent different modes of learning. So at first, Trent, you were living in Kansas City, so you're kind of in the same boat that we were in, is doing it online. I live really close to a hybrid campus, so all of my classes this semester are hybrid. And then Nickelback, I think you're like all online, right? And so now we've got online, hybrid, and then Trent, you're in person taking classes. And so I wanted to talk about kind of the pros, the cons of those modes of learning, and then who you think that would be good for, you know, if you have recommendations in that space. So starting with Nickelback, why, even though you live 20 minutes away from the campus, you do most of your classes online?
All right. So full disclosure, I have had, as of the time of this recording, I've had one hybrid class, and that actually has helped me realize some of the cons. So some easy pros for me. It's really convenient if you work full time, especially, you know, if you're married. If you're married, you're full time and you're full time school, like I'm doing. It takes a lot of your time. You're not going to have a whole lot of free time. You're going to have some free time, so you don't have to panic. But you're going to be cutting it close sometimes on assignments, and it helps to have, like, especially me, I'm fortunate enough that as long as I'm meeting my hours, I can still like schedule myself for work. So I can just pick out a whole day and I can just power through like a week's worth of class, like, you know, pick one or two days. So it's really convenient if you're just not able to find time, if you can't carve out time and you can't guarantee, hey, I need to be at this place at a certain time. I have to drive there, spend so much time there, and, you know, find a way off of work from that and then still get home. And if you're married, especially, like, and still be able to spend time with wife or kids or whoever. So that's been the biggest pro for me. Cons though, like I said, I had my first hybrid for my intro to practical theology class. And I really wish that I could go in person. I just realized that working full time, it's just not going to be for me for the work that I do, that it's not going to be realistic. But it's, there's nothing quite like being in the classroom setting. I've noticed that because, you know, when you do the discussion posts, which I don't like the discussion posts, but when you do them, you know, for me personally, I like to sit down and really think about things that I'm going to say. And like I triple and quadruple overthink pretty much everything. So I get to sit down, and when I finally got all my thoughts collected, I can just type it all out and go. But when you're in the classroom setting, you're a little bit more on the spot, which is kind of a pro and a con, because it's a pro because you realize you don't have the time, so you really need to make sure that you're focused on your stuff. But it's a con if, you know, if you're not focused on your stuff, basically. But yeah, it's definitely a good thing to look at, especially if you're working full time. If you have a weird schedule too. So
nice. Yeah. No, I think that was really well said. Mine are going to be, similar, because I think it, again, hybrids kind of bridge those two worlds. But I would not be able to currently, I also work full time. I couldn't sit in a classroom actually, I don't even know what a class schedule is, Trent. You'll have to, maybe I could, but probably not be in a classroom, and be able to work like I am now. Do I wish I could? Yeah, of course. Like, I think that, kind of going to a con, starting with that, is it feels like, I don't know this to be true, but it feels like the seminarians that are in campus, they probably have a relationship with the professors, you know, like you're like, oh man, I know Dr. Joe, he's so great. Like, we talk and I'll ask him questions, go to his office. Yeah, that's really strained when you're online. And so, you know, you can send an email, but it just, sometimes they get so many emails, you might not get one back or whatever. It's just, it feels like you're totally missing out on the relational side, like we're talking about, and why it's important that we're forming this. And also I would say it sometimes feels like you're not really, like, being a student is on the back burner. It's kind of like an auxiliary function of your life, rather than being able to say like, no, this is what I'm doing with my life right now. These are the decisions I've made. I'm a seminary student. And that just, it feels almost like a hobby or something sometimes, which is why the hybrid is super nice, because when that comes around, it's like, okay, I'm in school for 3 full days in this intensive. I'm going to give it everything I've got. I've got other classmates. I loved being able to just raise your hand and ask a question right then and there, instead of going through an email channel or something. And you get that sense of like, I'm a seminary student. This is pretty awesome. Like, I want more of this. But then that, again, that's the con, is it's only 3 days and a weekend, or one weekend in a semester rather. And then it's back to kind of the online thing. And so it just kind of leaves you wanting more. But I think who it's best for, I would say that, yeah, if you want, you can afford to either fly to a campus or you live somewhere where a campus is at, you can start making personal relationships with classmates, even if you only see them that once a semester or whatever, and as well as the professor, and just pick his brain or her brain and just ask questions right then or on the spot. You kind of get the best of both worlds. You definitely get the best of online, and you get a little bit of the best of the in-person.
Yeah.
Trent, lucky duck, yeah, you get to be on campus. Tell us all about that.
Yeah.
Brag about it.
I do like, I enjoy being on campus. Personally, I do better sitting in a classroom listening to a person than I do, you know, sitting at home or sitting in a coffee shop, looking at my lap, this super computer that sits in front of me, and being able to do a million things other than pay attention. So I like being on campus for that reason, but also, like you're saying, it's really nice to be able to interact with the professor and to ask questions and to bounce off of each other in a real time discussion. One of the things I liked the least about being online, and it's just compared to being in person, is that they really do try to make online classes as close-ish to a in-person class as they can. To me, what that felt like a lot of time was, whereas you could probably sit in a classroom for an hour and there's a lecture and discussion and announcements and all this stuff happens inside this hour. When it came to online class, there's like this laundry list of here's an announcement you have to read, here's an announcement you have to read, you have to watch this lecture, and then do the discussion post. And then, so I do like being on campus for that reason. It just like knocks everything out in one go. It's super seamless.
Do you feel like, let me pause you there. Do you feel like,
yeah,
it's like you said, kind of when you're online Monday or Sunday night or whenever that professor ends up just giving you the laundry list for the week, it's like, oh man, I've got to do initial discussion post on this day. I got to follow up to a response on this. I've got to read all of these things. I got to watch these videos. And then just like, it's all kind of piles up. Whereas what I hear you saying, I could be wrong, is that when you're in class, it kind of self-regulates, like it all kind of happens as it needs to rather than front-loading everything.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I'm also just like a super routine person. So I like having my routines. I like to know, I like to be able to expect what's going to happen. So for that reason, like I know that I'm going to sit in a classroom from 8 to 11 and 1 to 2 on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And I don't feel like what I tended towards when I was online, I had 3 jobs and I was just trying to fit in lectures and wherever I could, you know. And I think that was super unhealthy. And I think that being on campus has encouraged me to slow down and actually learn.
I don't believe you. You're a masochist. You're taking four courses right now, right? You're taking 12 credit hours, yeah. Which is
I would die.
That's the maximum you're allowed to take. So
yeah,
you're a beast. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, but, I wouldn't recommend it, but, there are some incredible professors here. There are some better than others, to be totally transparent, as there will be anywhere. But I think that is something that is worth paying for, worth moving for me at least. Like we all met in this class from Dr. Johnson, and Nickelback was on campus for his hybrid a couple weeks ago and got a chance to interview Dr. Brad, who had no clue who either of us were.
Right.
Not a clue in the slightest, which is totally fine.
Because you're just like a username, right? I mean,
yeah. I mean, he is a teacher of several online classes, so totally makes sense. But that is one thing I've noticed about the professors on campus is that they're very intentional about getting to know their students' names and who they are. I just had lunch at the Dean of Biblical Studies house the other day because he invited a couple of us over to have lunch.
Dang it.
And so they're super intentional and super available. That's something I've noticed as well they will give you your office hours or whatever, but they're like, anytime you need help, like call me, text me, do whatever. My job is to help you.
Dang it. You're making me want to go. I can't move right now, but I really want to.
Listen, okay. I'm going to sell it. I'm going to sell it for just a second. You're welcome, Asbury. Free marketing. Being on campus is absolutely worth it. Like if it's possible, I think it's a must. It's super cheap to live here. And I think that there's so many intangibles that you don't get online. Or even probably hybrid. I haven't had a hybrid class, so I can't say for sure. But I just think, if you're going to pay the money, this is what you're paying for.
Well, that was deflating. Guys. Thanks.
Thanks a lot, Trent.
I'm just going to, even though I'm doing all the same courses, I'm just going to be living vicariously through you. What's your Nickelback? What is your problem? You live 20 minutes away, dude. That was like the commercial of a lifetime.
Schedule. I work 10 hours a day, 4 to 5 days a week.
That's a lot.
I am in a phase of life where, you know, Brooke and I can afford to live here and let me work less to do this. And that's not feasible for everyone, you know? Mm-hmm. So I totally get that too. So I don't blame you, Nickelback. I'm not ashamed. No shame for me, only from him.
I just,
John,
you have a 20-minute commute. I have like a 26-hour commute.
Oh, dude, that's nothing. Just hop on a plane.
You could walk that. What are you talking about?
All right. No, that was really good. And I don't mean to shame you, Nickelback. I think it's funny because I actually have a friend who is like, yeah, I'm thinking about moving to Wilmore and, you know, I'll probably still be an online student. I'm like, what? That doesn't make any sense to me. But it's the schedule thing. And it's like, well, because then you can try to do the best of both worlds. You can have the flexibility, but then you could also go and meet with the professor in their, you know, office and ask questions. So it's like, actually, that's kind of an interesting, you move for the professors is a huge reason you would do that.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like, oh, okay. It just never occurred to me. Cause I would think more like you were saying, Trent, like being in a classroom, not being distracted with other things. Like I'm in here for this one thing, to listen to this lecture, to take notes. I work and I do school remotely and they bleed into each other all the time. And it's like so confusing sometimes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Dang. All right. Well, that was a good conversation. What do you guys hope to do in the future? Like what if, you know, graduation is tomorrow, let's just say, what are you doing the day after?
Sure.
Crying.
Not a clue. I'll just go back to school. No. I know for a fact that I've been called to lead a congregation, so pastoral ministry. Recently, I say recently, it's been over the last year, but I like to take a lot of time to pray about these things, especially big life decisions. I feel like I'm called to a dual vocation, so I will probably go through the D-Man program, which...
Okay, for our listeners...
It's called D-Man.
Yeah, he's gonna pursue a demon, which is a doctorate of ministry. Okay, so
the worst title of all time
for a seminary. I mean, seriously.
Yeah. Listen, I'll get the degree. I'll just sprinkle it with some holy water. It'll be fine.
But, yes.
Yeah. But so I'm
doing
I'm gonna,
exorcism on your degree.
Right. Right. Yeah. So I'm gonna get my demon, and then I'm planning on. I don't know. And then I'm gonna pursue. Education at a seminary level, trying to equip future pastors as well.
Dr. Reverend Nickelback.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He's Love the it. Future Dr. Brad.
There you go. That's awesome. That's man.
He's going to be setting up these little groups and there's going to be podcasts about him not knowing them next sometime.
That's so true though, because I already know, like, I'm great with faces. I'm horrible with names.
Yeah.
Horrible with names. Even in that hybrid, I think I talked to somebody like 4 times and had to ask their name each time. So, didn't forget their face. I was like, I know you, but you know.
Yeah.
Nice. Trent, what are you doing after graduating?
I have absolutely no idea.
Let's go.
That's why I've got 2 years left.
That's valid.
No, I don't know. I told someone today, I work in the financial aid office, and that means I'm the lowest on the totem pole, so I sit at the front desk. If you ever call the seminary phone number, I'm the one that answers it most of the time. And I told some dude on the phone today, I was like, I have no idea. Answering the call was coming here, so I'm still waiting on the next one to ring.
Well, I see what you did.
So I don't know. I try my best.
No, I'm with you, man. It's like, I want to go to seminary. I feel like God's calling me to do that. I have no clue what's next.
So my dad was a pastor and I swore for years that I would not touch working in a church with a 10-foot pole. And I feel like the Lord has been working on me in that regard. I think I'm more open to that possibility, but still, I don't know that there's anything concrete. As far as how he has swept me around so far, there's not been a lot of advance warning. So I have a feeling that whatever it is, I'll find out pretty shortly before it happens. So
are you gonna get a demon, a personal demon?
No. I don't know. I have flirted with the idea of going the PhD route, but
whoa. Oh, that's right. You're Mr. Masochist overachiever. That makes sense.
Yes, overachiever. But I don't know. I go back and forth because I think that I would be able to do it well. And I think that I'd be able to, this is the most awful thing I could say. I'm going to say it on the internet forever. I think I could do it well enough that it might become a stumbling block for me. So that's where I'm kind of wrestling with it.
Yes, that was awesome. Yeah. Confidence level that was good. Dude, no, I do believe that, like, wholeheartedly. You guys are crazy smart. I'm lucky to be in your online presence. But it would be cool, right? I'm just saying, it'd be cool if, you know, 10 years, 15 years from now, we're still nobodies, is what I'm trying to say. But I'll consult the demon lord and the PhD. Dude, you have to, like, know three languages to do a PhD. It's like Greek, Hebrew, and either French or German or Latin or something like that.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Tell me how that goes. Well, I love you guys a ton, and I'm super blessed to be classmates. I know that I make fun of stuff, but I really, really want you to know, also on the internet for everyone to hear, I really respect you guys and have so enjoyed, and I'm looking forward to many years of friendship, and so happy that we get to do this together.
Yeah. Me too, man.
Well, as a closing for our episode, in lieu of our normal, we have like a little closing jingle. Trent is actually a incredibly talented it makes me hate you though. Musician, he's good Fair looking. Enough. He's on campus. He's going to get a PhD easily. And he is an incredible musician. Seriously. So we are going to play one of your songs for our closing outro. And this song is called Morning Mass. And I was hoping that you could give kind of a little snippet. What's the song about? And just maybe even tell a little bit of your story as a musician.
Yeah, so back in February, I put out a record back in February. it was the first record I'd ever done on my own. To promote that record, I did a couple runs of shows with a friend of mine named Jordan Butler, who is actually the one who also didn't have a bachelor's degree, who just graduated last May from the seminary. We played a handful of shows together and just had the best time ever. And we ended up after the runs driving up to Des Moines, Iowa, and recording an EP together. And that's what this song is off of, this Morning Mass song. This one that he wrote, each of us did two songs. I did two, he did two. And we just kind of played on both of them, arranged all of it together.
You sing though, right? Like you're like
four in 3 days.
I feel like you're the lead singer in all of the songs.
Nope. That's the funny part is that no one can tell whose is whose, which is a good thing.
Wait,
I think,
so are you the singer of Morning Mass?
No.
Oh, let's do a different song, dude. You should.
That's what I was trying to tell you.
And you know what? We can't even edit this because it's just like a live feed. So if I could, I would have. But now we're going to do Tennessee because that's not even a collab. That's just trying to get. Bro, stop trying to. And he's humble to boot. Dang it. All right. Tennessee.
I'm sorry.
That is a song. Yes. Give us. It's about Dolly Parton, I'm pretty sure.
Yes, it's about Dollywood. No. It's a love letter to Dollywood. Tennessee is the first song off of that record I put out in February called Old Now. And it is a song I wrote after a couple friends and I took a trip to Tennessee to see a band called Colony House. Towards the tail end of COVID, as things were opening back up, Colony House decided to host an outdoor drive-in theater show, which was super cool and super fun. And it was freezing. But we just had an awesome weekend. We drove up just for the show and then drove back. And it was super sweet. And I got home and I spent about 45 minutes to an hour writing the song Tennessee. It's my favorite place on earth. I always say I'm going to live there someday. I used to want to live in Nashville like nothing else. And then I Zillowed the houses there. Not anymore. not on a starving artist and elementary school teacher's salary, that's for sure.
Dang.
But it's Brooke and I's dream to move to Chattanooga, Tennessee. I think that's where we feel called to be at some point, who knows when. But yeah, that song, Tennessee, is just about my favorite state on earth.
Nice, man. And okay, my favorite song that you do, please tell me you do this song or else I've been gushing over telling, I don't know.
I hope it's not mine.
Jordan, it seems like a cool dude. I can't wait to meet this guy.
He is.
I've been bragging on.
He is.
Okay, you definitely sing in the boiler room, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Gosh, thank goodness. Okay, that's my favorite song that you do. That one is
Listen,
awesome.
It's going to get more confusing because I'll announce it here. This is the dumbest thing ever.
Yes.
We've been trying to start a band for a long time. And so Jordan and I are going to start a band together. And we have been figuring out a band name for months. And we have like 30 of the worst band names you've ever heard.
Hit us up with some
finally
of them, please.
One.
No. Give me like two or three others first. And then
Okay. Cancel Vulture was one of them.
That is so stupid. Yes. You were kidding.
We had one that was the first three we came up with was Cancel Vulture, Yes Trespassing, and Judas is Carrot. They're so bad, dude.
Okay, actually the Yes Trespassing is it's kind of dope actually. But
so
Judas
bad.
Is Carrot, is that a biblical reference? Is that just?
I don't know, dude. It was so bad. We did come up. Okay, this is my last pitch. Sorry, I'm making the thing last for too long. We did come up with a band name called the Camp Counselors, and
That's
then we
also
came up
cool.
with three. We came up with three record titles for them. The first record was Get to Know You Games. The second record was Fast, Slow, Fast, and the third record was Cry Night.
That's awesome. I feel like that's like There Will Be Giants kind of vibe there. That's pretty
it
sick.
Was, yeah.
Okay, so what's your drum roll for real? You better not say Cancel Culture.
No, it's not. So Jordan wrote a song called Son of Timaeus, and it's about Bartimaeus, Blind Bartimaeus. And so I think we decided our band name is going to be Sons of Timaeus.
Sons of Timaeus. Sick. Yeah. That's cool, man. Are you going to continue doing solo work?
We'll see. I'm sure at some point, somehow, I'm sure.
Right on.
At this point, it's full steam ahead.
Sons of Timaeus.
For the band.
And the Camp Counselors. Very cool. Okay, where can people find your music? What's the easiest way to confuse you and Jordan?
Spotify or Apple Music or anywhere. It's on Google, Amazon, all that good stuff.
All the places. Nice. All right. Well, guys, it's been fun having you on the show. Thanks for you guys were like some of my first supporters and you knew that I was going to work on this podcast project.
Mm-hmm.
But for our listeners, what do you think? How have you cultivated community being an online student or even just there on campus? What do you want in community as a seminary student? Let us know in the comments section on our Facebook or Instagram post of the episode. And make sure to give us a like and make sure to visit our website at seminarian.life for show notes and links to listen to the one and only Trent Gaddy and Jordan Butler and the Cancel Vultures. Until next time, thanks for joining the conversation today, and we'll see you next time.
It's the autumns. It's the way they all fall so perfectly, like a scene cut straight from the movie screens. Well, isn't it lovely? Yeah. Well, isn't it the Tennessee? It's the waterfalls, it's the rolling hills, it's the Mississippi, it's the promised land, it's milk and honey. Well, isn't it lovely? Yeah. Well, isn't it the Tennessee? There's a million. Straight through the night for you, 'cause they say seek and you'll find, and it's true. Oh, Tennessee, 'cause I found you. It's the shade. Themselves over the porch swing. Well, isn't it lovely? Yeah. Well, isn't it the Tennessee? It's the city streets lined with people that I swear I've never seen. 'Cause here the strangers feel like they're family. Isn't it lovely? Yeah. Well, isn't it a Tennessee? There's a million reasons why I would drive straight through the night for you. 'Cause they say seeking you'll find. It's true. Oh, Tennessee. There's a million reasons why I would drive straight through the night for you. They say seeking you'll find. It's true. Oh, Tennessee. 'Cause I found you. I found you. 'Cause I found you. 'Cause I found. I was born to be. Well, isn't it lovely? Yeah. Well, isn't it the Tennessee? There's a million reasons why I would drive straight through the night for you. Say, say, seeking you'll find it's true. Oh, Tennessee, 'cause I found you.